And so, friends, truly the Lord be with you. Sidwell is going to read to us now the account of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem.
When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them. And he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee."
In response to that account of what happened when Jesus came into the holy city, we think of God's purposes being fulfilled. And just at this time, seeing the very dramatic situation across the world, we're aware of the need for God's purposes to come today. We're going to say together, praying the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. In a rather unusual way, this great Passiontide hymn, "My song is love unknown." Thank you. And so let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who in your tender love towards the human race sent your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, to take upon him our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross, grant that we may follow the example of his patience and humility, and also be made partakers of his resurrection, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Every Palm Sunday, we hear this reading from Paul's letter to the Philippians. And it's the reading where we come across the concept, using the word, therefore, he emptied himself, the concept of kenosis, putting others before oneself, not being at all egotistical. This is Philippians 2, 5 to 11. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now we have the reading of the Passion narrative from Matthew. It's going to be read for us this morning by Anne Bithell and Steve Ball.
Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You say so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed.
Now, at the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said,
Barabbas.
Pilate said to them, "Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" All of them said, Let him be crucified.
Then he asked, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more,
Let him be crucified.
So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves. Then the people as a whole answered, His blood is on us and on our children.
So he released Barabbas for them. And after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified.
Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! They spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him.
As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink, mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over his head, they put the charge against him, which read, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.
Then two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him, saying, He saved others, he can't save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he wants to. For he said, I am God's son. The bandits who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way.
From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lima sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, This man is calling for Elijah. At once, one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it him to drink. But the other said, Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said, Truly, this was God's son.
This is the passion of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, thank you very much to our esteemed readers there, and Stephen. Let us bow our heads a bit to pray. Heavenly Father, bless the ears that are going to hear your word and the hearts that will receive it with faith and hope. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the story of the Palm Sunday is the story that you have probably heard the whole of your Christian life. It is told year in and year out. And in Matthew's gospel today, we hear that beginning of the drama of the colt and the donkey, and Jesus in human form doing what most of us resonated with very well. Well, for me, this is not just a story that happened more than 2,000 years ago. It is indeed a celebration of the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, as it happens to us now, and as it is happening for us today. As he enters triumphantly in the city of Jerusalem, we hear that there was a huge wave of optimism, a huge wave of joy, a hope begins to those who are around. And that is the hope we have too as we begin this Holy Week. We are told also that the streets were lined up with people waving palm leaves, palm branches, and some of them putting their cloaks on the ground, singing and shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Sadly, the same people who were singing those praises for the Son of Man are the ones who are just soon going to change their tune and sing and sort of shout again and say, "Crucify him, crucify him." Others, of course, will betray him. And some will even deny him. And that is what we are experiencing today, especially when we are faced with such adversities as we are today, with the scourge of the coronavirus, the lockdowns, the self-isolations, you name the whole lot. And if we are not careful, this is a danger that confronts us, that could cause us to easily lose our focus, the focus to the fear, to the enemy that is at stake. And that enemy is doubt, is called doubt. Because when things happen, we begin to doubt if God answers our prayers, if God hears us when we pray. And this also will cause us to even lose sight of what we are remembering at this time of the calendar year in the church, that which is this death and the resurrection of Christ on the cross. But my hope, my prayer to you as well as me today, as we begin this Holy Week, is that we begin to reflect on what it means to be a church, the body of Christ. And this we can do by continuously engaging in fervent prayers and also making that imminent decision in ourselves as to what it means to be followers of Christ. This we can do collectively or as individuals. Let us not lose sight of what we are remembering at this time. Let us not lose sight of what we are celebrating and participating in. So, friends, colleagues, brothers and sisters, as we begin this Holy Week, may we enter into this mystery of Jesus Christ's life, death, and resurrection with great faith and hope. Amen.
Amen. Well, it is the week which opens up the central part of our faith, the death and resurrection of Jesus. We're going to respond in a way to what Sid was said, by saying together the Apostles' Creed, which I think James has put up on the screen share. And so let's say together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And we turn to our prayers of penitence. God shows his love for us in that, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let us then show our love for him by confessing our sins in penitence and in faith. Almighty God, long-suffering and of great goodness, I confess to you, I confess with my whole heart, my neglect and forgetfulness of your commandments, my wrongdoing, thinking and speaking, the hurts I have done to others, and the good I have left undone. O God, forgive me, for I have sinned against you, and raise me to newness of life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And so may the Almighty and Merciful Lord grant us pardon and forgiveness of all our sins, time for amendment of life, and the grace and comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, friends, I'm going to ask if you would join with me in praying prayers of intercession. Obviously, we've got a very needy world right now, which needs our prayers. We're going to use the familiar response for these prayers. Lord, hear us, I will say, and if you could respond, Lord, graciously hear us. And so let us pray. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. At the beginning of this very strange Holy Week, we pray for Christians across the world. We pray that the Church, despite what is taking place, may be strengthened, perhaps in new ways. We pray for the Church as it reflects on our situation, our lives confined, but nothing confines you, O God. Our lives clouded by fear, but nothing is fearful in you. Our lives limited, but you, O Lord, are unlimited. And we remember that you sent your Son to share our limited life, even to the point of the cross. And so we pray that the Church may be renewed. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We ask for our country, for ourselves, for our families, for businesses with which we are connected, schools, universities, hospitals, organizations, and our church. We ask for solidarity and mutual support. Strengthen us as we seek to strengthen those around us, we pray. And in this time of economic uncertainty, so many disastrous things unfolding in the world of employment and the economy, Lord, we pray for the role of business, the role of government. We ask for wisdom for those in authority. And we pray too that amongst our whole country, there may be a spirit of cooperation and optimism and determination. We give thanks for our Queen addressing the nation this evening. We also pray for the Labour Party, its new leader, Keir Starmer, asking that you will strengthen him and those who work with him for the good of this country. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. O God of compassion and care, we hold before you, before your tender love, the people around us, our families, our friends, our colleagues. We praise you that your love for each person is infinite. We pray that you will strengthen our local community, especially now, we pray, for our hospitals, including the new NHS Nightingale Hospital being constructed at Manchester Central. We pray for all who work there and in all places of healing and care, for nurses, doctors, paramedics, and all support staff. Lord, we ask that you will protect and bless all our NHS staff, all the personnel who are involved in this great crisis. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. And now we pray for the men and women and children who are suffering from the coronavirus and from all other demanding conditions. We pray for Andrew, who has cancer. We ask that you surround him with care, reassure him, and bring him comfort. We pray for him and for all hospital patients who cannot receive visitors when they would so want to see their loved ones. And we pray too for Ernie, asking that you help him on this journey to recovery. And we hold before you others known to us personally who need your touch of love. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We reflect, O Lord, that there are so many who have brought us blessings in this life. We give you thanks for those who've gone before us. In fellowship with all your saints, we commend ourselves and those for whom we pray today to your mercy and protection. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. This is a change of gear now. This is where we can all say hello to each other, because part of our faith, rather wonderfully, is each other. So, James, I know you've been very, very good on managing the microphones. I say you're very good. I hope everyone could hear the prayers I was just leading. But It might be a good idea at this point if you could unmute us. But if everyone speaks at once, it won't work terribly well. But I think maybe let's try being unmuted, if that could happen, Jane. That'd be great. I hear the airwaves. I hear the airwaves come alive.
Hi.
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 Hi. Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
So, friends, Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We are meeting, strangely, actually, in His name and share His peace. And so the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Well, he's going to address us. Sidwell.
As we are unable to exchange peace with one another, as we usually do, I thought if we could go around, that each person could just say, hello, how they feeling, and just doing one sentence. Must be very brief. Maybe starting with Anthony and Haley.
Hey. Peace be with you all. We're okay.
Hi, hello.
Hi, guys.
Okay.
Hi, Mom. Hope you're all right.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
With you.
Thank you.
Peace be with you.
That's you, Cecilia.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Off the screen. Off the camera.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you.
Galaxy.
Lost what mind the bottom there. Bottom corner.
Wonderful to know that God is in the midst of us, even in this electronic means.
Hey, Durham, didn't see you there, mate.
Yes, good to see you. I'm well.
Hi,
and I hope you guys are too.
Yeah, peace be with you. We're well.
Yes. Hello, Hecky. I haven't heard you speak.
Oh, peace be with you. Hecky and Chris here.
Yes, them and Nick at the bottom there. Hello.
Hi.
How are you doing, guys? Rachel and Elijah. Hello.
Hi. Hi, Sidwell. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Hi.
Where's Audra? Hello, Linda. Good to see you all.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Linda.
Hello,
Audra. How are you back? Hello, Audra. How are you feeling?
I'm fine. It's going to be good now.
Good dear. Yeah. And Connie in the corner there also, I think, has just disappeared. Shall we go on with the service?
Hello. Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
I'm not sure what you're supposed to be doing next now. We're going to sing a hymn.
Oh, good.
Thank you for the readers.
All together.
Oh, not in. James, lead us like we did. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. We're going to just close now with a prayer of blessing. And I bring this prayer to you simply in the faith that wherever we are and however we are, the Lord will bless us and care for us and will lead us through this Holy Week. And maybe this will be a week, in fact, to deepen our faith and our love and our knowledge of God's love in our lives. And so, Christ crucified, draw you to himself, to find in him a sure ground for faith, a firm support for hope, and the assurance of sins forgiven. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you today, this Holy Week, and always. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I don't know if we could all be unmuted, James, just so we can say toodaloo. What we should have done, we should have asked everyone to have their cup of coffee and a biscuit ready for like we do at the end of church. But anyway, you'll have to organise that for yourselves. It's great to connect with everybody. What a tonic for us all. Really for me, anyway.
And great to see.